Blog Talk Radio.
And reduce the song physical moves that can be defined completely in terms of physical science, physics, chemistry, etc. No, that's why Russia is failing. That's why Russia couldn't get to the moon before America. It wasn't because America was better, morally. She wasn't better morally speaking, but at least she was better in her attitude. She said, well, there is a Lord. And the people have a right to worship a Lord. There is a reality that our knowledge doesn't completely explain. And the people have a right to subscribe to that kind of belief. But America was a whore. America was a pimp. America was a dope pusher. America was an enslaver. America was a capitalistic, materialistic bastard. Yes. But at least that bastard had an attitude better than the attitude of the communist people. So who landed the man on the moon? The bastard. Now, we know all Americans are not bastards. The excellence of America is not a bastard. But I'm going to go to the statements of physical science. The whole is equal to the sum of all of its parts. And if that's true, then a bastard landed on the moon. Don't shiver. I'm closer to the bastard than you are. And we're going to make that bastard a legitimate yet. See, they like me on bell system because I know how to ring the bell. What can we do about the things that are happening on top? Can we approach the top directly? No. We are seen on the bottom level. No matter what we do, we are regarded as members of the common people. And I'm talking about myself too. I'm your imam. And many in the high towers, they respect me. They give me great respect. But because I address you, they have to regard me as one of the common folk. If I would stop addressing you, I wouldn't have to go to college. I wouldn't have to get a degree. I wouldn't have to do anything but just join them. And they would have me addressing them. And they would invite me in to work with them. And I would suddenly become not one of you, I suddenly become one of them, pardon me, and I'd be no more one of you. But they understand divine providence, and they know I can't help myself. I'm living the only life I know. So I address you. Don't you know with what I understand it's easier for me to address those on high than to address you? Because you don't understand what I'm talking about. You have to strain to understand what I'm talking about. But those on high, they don't have to strain to understand what I'm talking about. What you laugh at, they take note of it. Serious note. Yeah. And this is no credit to me as an individual. It's credit to what? The Word of God. It's the divine Word that has made me to see the light. Yeah. It's no credit to me. Unless it's to my attitude. Yes. My attitude brought me into understanding. So if I'm to get any credit, it's for nothing but an attitude. That's right. So don't think I'm trying to get you to look at me as some big fella or something. No, that's not the point. I'm trying to get you to see that the people that you respect are most likely beneath us in knowledge. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And until you can see that, you can't become a part of what we're doing. No, you can't mean very much in what we are doing if you don't see that. What we are doing has to have people that support it. People that are committed to it. If you think somebody else is wiser than we are in what we are doing, then you're not committed to us. You're committed to them. Though you be here among us, you're not committed to us. You're committed to them. Oh, he wants us to worship him, to think he knows it all. I don't know it all. Well, you know that woman that was washing at the well? And the New Testament says, now this is not my book, this is a Christian book. The New Testament says that Jesus began to talk to her. And she said she met a man who told her everything she had ever done. She didn't say he told me everything I will do. She said he told her everything I had done. Now, believe me, we know everything you've done. We might can't tell you what you're going to do. We can predict that pretty closely, too. But we do know what you have done. That is, we can interpret your behavior. We can analyze your behavior like a doctor. And we can prescribe for you the medicine to put you right again. We can explain your mental problem, your emotional problem. We can explain the things that are happening in your emotional makeup better for you than the man you gave $50 to. Because knowledge from God has come to us. And it's better than the knowledge of the world. How is the human being to be identified if he's not to be identified in his mental and physical behavior or conduct? On the physical level, the human being, he fits right in the same category with matter, with the animal. It is only on the mineral level that the human being is seen above the other creatures. Is that right? All right. So your personality, by the dictionary's report, and that's all it is, a report. Nobody know anything. I'm going to say that again to all of you, including those who work for Bell Telephone System. Nobody knows anything. All we can do is report. That's all we can do is report. All the knowledge in the world ain't nothing but a report. And for us, most of it has been reported incorrectly. That's right. The dictionary says that personality refers to the mental patterns of behavior and also to the physical patterns of behavior. All that goes to make up personality. Now, let us go to the Christian language, since I'm speaking to most people who have been exposed to Christian influence and not Islamic influence. As a man thinketh, so is he. Isn't that what they say? But let us go back and get the whole thing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What does that tell me? Allah says in the Quran, and he entrusted it to his heart. Is that right? The revelation that God gave to Muhammad said he entrusted it to his heart. And again, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he said, there's a lump of flesh, a mudgama. There is a lump of flesh, mudga, a lump of flesh, that when it is good, the whole body is good. And when it is bad, the whole body is bad. And they said, what lump of flesh is that? O prophet of God, he said, the heart. So let us go back now to the saying in the New Testament. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I think I can proceed with this definition to come to the logical conclusion. And that is that I am defined not as the animal, not as a tree. I am defined as a human being. And I don't take on my true identity or my true characteristic or my true personality until I begin to respond to the movement, to the urge, to the impulse for excellence. That comes not from the animal sense, but from the sentiments of the heart. There are sentiments in the human being that tell him you shouldn't do that. That's shameful. That's beneath you. That's beneath your dignity. Yes. And if a man thinks in that kind of mind, or think with that kind of attitude, then he's thinking as a human being. But if he stops thinking that way, and he just starts thinking for profit, thinking for advantages, thinking for power, thinking for escape, then he's thinking like an animal. He has ceased to be a man. By the way, wasn't only those great prophets that said that, but the scientists, one of the scientists, one of the philosophers, the great philosophers, he said, I think I am. He said, I think, therefore I am. What do you mean, I think, therefore I am? Thinking doesn't mean what you do. It doesn't mean that what the average one of us thinks thinking is. We think thinking is just activity in the mind. That's not thinking. We don't do thinking that way. We do thinking this way. Subhanallah. 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 We are not just allowing thoughts to come through our mind. We are following a pattern of thought. Yes. And then we come from that pattern, then we come to another one. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And we come from that pattern and we come to the last one. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's thinking. That's thinking. And Allah says in the Quran, what is this? Fikir. In nafa'ati dhikra. Think. For surely you increase by the power of thought. But not any kind of thought. Planned thought. Systematic thought. Directed thought. Goal-oriented thought. All right. If salvation hadn't come to the Negro in America, salvation never came to anybody. And I'm not calling you Negroes, but I just wanted to speak deep in your conscience. Well, I've just been up here about an hour, right? So I got a few more minutes, I think. Yes. You know, our mothers and fathers, they used to watch over the development of our personality. Because at that time, the church influence was strong. But when the church abdicated, stepped back and allowed the media and everything else to take over that role, the parents got away from that. And they stopped watching over the development of the child's personality. And all of a sudden now the child is coming at the parent with a bat or with a knife. Parent been neglecting his responsibility for all those summers and springs and winters and falls. But now the child is threatening their parent life. Oh, hell, I got to do something. I don't know. I got to put this boy in a home, in a juvenile home, or kill him, or I'm going to have to get out of here and let him have the house. Yeah, they say that, you know. Some of them say that. Scripture tells us, and especially the Quran, tells us that day was going to come. It's plainly written in the Holy Quran that the day was going to come when the child is going to punish the parent for parental neglect. Yes. It doesn't put it in those words that I'm giving it, but it means that says just that. People were going to turn their mind away from the true reality and give their life to the fleeting thing. And the failure to meet their own obligation was going to eventually result in a kind of blind greed and blind sensuality where each person goes after what satisfies them immediately and forget about the consequences down the road. This is what Allah tells us in the Quran. Say, when that time comes, no one will be able to get no pity. Everybody will be so wrapped up in their own woes that they won't have any concern for the next person. Now look, it's a lot.
But many of you are here from out of town. This place should be sealed without anybody coming from outside the neighborhood. This place should be sealed from the immediate surroundings. Mic is down. Can you hear me all right? So we'll wait till they get the mic on.
See, we are fortunate today. We have one of the best electrical equipment repairmen, I believe, anywhere. That's Brother Khalil. He's here today. So it's okay now. All right. So it wasn't here because that one was down too, you know. So it wasn't just this mic. It was something in the system. Maybe it was just too much fire on the line, burning. You know, one thing we have to grow to accept, and that is that we don't control anything. We just do our best with the name of Allah, and we have to accept that when we have done our best, that's all. Right? Now, let's continue here, if we can. Now to the proper concept of the individual, as we may see that in what we call personality. Now, you know, I know many of you have children. If you don't have children, I know many of you have witnessed this in children and also grown-ups. That some people seem to be starving for personality fulfillment. And they will just soak up any personality impressions that come around them. One day they will be Mary and the next day Willa Mae. And they ain't crazy. They don't need to be in the hospital or nothing. It's just a normal thing in the society. So I'm sure you witnessed that. Now that wouldn't happen if the people were living in a religious context that fulfills the needs, the personality needs in their lives, like our religion does, and like some other religions also do. But people who live outside of a life context that structure their life and keep before them certain principles, they are really cut off from life. So they don't really have any life of their own. Their life is subject to the circumstances, whatever impressions come in today. Isn't that right? I mean, even the individual personality is subject to whatever impressions come in today. I heard the ma'am talking about how some people walk in the movie and come out with a John Wayne personality. Much worse than that now, because they might come out with the Hulk personality. Or some other wild, crazy demon's personality, you know. Isn't it worth it to give yourself to a principle of living, to a way of life that asks of you to make a little effort in the process of living, rather than just let things happen freely or carefree, and you become erased as an individual. You lose your distinction as a person, and you just become a vessel for anybody to drop something in and characterize it. The Belalian people have a great problem in this area. Great problem. And I don't think it's just because of the separation from traditional life brought on by slavery. I don't think that. Why? Because I find many Africans having the same problem. Do you know that African perhaps is the most saved person from real racism? The African that was racist? The Encyclopedia Britannica tells us about the African tribal life, tribal makeup, under the heading of de-tribalization in Africa. De-tribalization in Africa. Under that heading, it shows us the Africans as majority, even in their small units, small tribal units, big units of 500,000 all the way down to little small units, that they don't show distinct racial makeup. The members of their group will come from different races. We think everybody black belongs to the same race. But there's as many races among the blacks as there's among anybody else, maybe more. Yes. In fact, I believe more. But there's something else that is burdening the African. Burdens us more, but it burdens the African too. What is that? Stable, constant personality. Stable, constant personality. If we want to describe the personality of blacks in the whole world, I can describe it as emotional in characteristic. Is that right or wrong? That's right or wrong. Now, I'm not saying that to discredit our people. I'm us. Think I'll be a nut and talk against myself without a purpose? And the purpose must be to improve myself. Yeah, I wouldn't talk about myself if it wasn't no result in improving myself. We are by description people given to emotionalism. And emotionalism will not allow you to come into what they call achieved personality. So the majority of us, we take on, one of the term that they would give you, a crude personality. And by crude, I mean just what the word says, a crude. It just formed as natural addition. There was no plan. There was no effort to govern or to direct the formation of that personality. It just happened within the natural, under the natural influences. So a pop artist can bring out a song that will give us new personalities. Give the whole Malawian people in America a new group personality. Am I wrong or wrong? I'm telling you the facts of our situation. Now, this happens to us in a worse way than it happened to the African, but I find the African also given to that kind of susceptibility, more so than the other races. Chinese, the Asiatics, or the Europeans. Until just here recently. Here recently, the old ideas were shattered. The old principles were shattered. The old notions about America's power and might has been shattered. The whole idea about the divine destiny and superiority of the Western civilization has been shattered. So the Ivy League youngster was left despondent, shaken up, shook up in his mind. Spirit was shattered. So he, in his destruction, didn't turn to the excellence, but join us in just a dissipation of life. Isn't that what the majority of them did? They became children given to permissive and promiscuous living. Right? Oh, yes. But we remember when even the poorest of them, walked with a sense of pride, especially when they walked around us. Oh, yeah. He showed that he thought he was better. But now it looks like he's mad because we see him on his natural level. So they get mad now. You go around them, they don't behave right, but they catch you looking at them, they want to beat you up. Yeah. I won't insult you. So you got any grass? Got some snow? Got any grass? And you looking like Reverend Johnson himself. Yeah. Are you looking like the only senator we got? And they'll turn to you or to your children that's sitting in the show with them. Got some snow, got some grass? You supposed to have some grass. You supposed to have some dope. No matter where you came from or what kind of living back, what kind of lifestyle you got or what your background is, you know, you're supposed to have dope. Now, they know every one of us ain't got no dope, but that's their way of cutting you with a dull knife. Yeah. Because they mad. They know they're out of shape. They're out of form. And you're beholding them out of form. So they respond to their own disgrace with an attack upon you for nothing. Yes. And you with your putty mind, putty emotional state of mind, you're still copying white folks. I used to then see you do the shameful thing that you do in public, but now I see you doing it. You know, we used to have some respect for our self and our people in public. Now, we might get in our private set, and we might let our naps out. Yeah, we burn up the pants, burn up the rug, burn up the pants and everything, you know. Shaking and twisting and carrying on and popping our fingers. Get so hot, the walls start leaking. Yeah, you know, we get real funky in some of those parties, you know. Some of those home parties, you know. But when we went out among other people, we had some kind of shame. When I was a boy, I saw a Caucasian walking with his woman, squeezing her cheek. It can be on the Broadway. It can be downtown center city. He be walking with his woman, squeezing her cheek. I mean her real cheek. Yeah. Now you catch the young Caucasians who have let themselves this kind of emotionalism. You catch them not only squeezing cheap. She squeezed his cheap. Yeah. In fact, they give each other the finger right out in public. And I don't mean the threatening finger. I mean the real finger. Yeah, I've seen them do it. Just stick a hand, jab the hand right up each other's lung. Right before your eyes. You could be Pope John Paul number two. They don't care. They don't know who's walking behind them. Right out in the broad daylight on the broad street. Stop and put their hand down in each other's clothes and stick their tongues all down in each other's mouths. Lob on over each other. Might even lie down. Right on downtown in the zoo. Might lie down right there on the sidewalk. I pity them. They were not able to accept the reality of their own dignity. They were thinking that that dignity was up on a divine level. Wasn't average dignity, wasn't average human dignity. They were divine in that dignity. When that was shattered, they just gave up. Gave up. Don't care about anything no more. Church, learning institutions, civil institutions, the army, the flag of the United States, they didn't care about anything. Nothing had respect anymore. Isn't that for the young generation? Young generation of the Caucasian people, the European Americans, that's where they went, many of them. Now, what hurt me is to see one of you that I know don't have that in your nature. You ain't lived long enough under this kind of demoralizing thing to actually have that in your nature. It's not in your nature. And you out there walking with your tight Sherwood Forest pants. Yo, Mr. Klein jeans or something. And I see you grabbing your girl's buttock, squeezing her buttock, just like they did. I know your mama didn't teach you that, you stinking Negro bastard. I know your mama didn't teach you that. You learned that from that shook-up, broken-minded, promiscuous Caucasian who was disappointed with his civilization. Yes! So when are we going to become personality true to ourselves? Huh? When are we going to get ourselves? When will the Negro become himself? Huh? On the primitive level, he copied the baboon. He copied the dog. Yes, he did. Like all other primitive societies did until they grew out of that. He copied the mannerism and the social traits of the animal. Caucasian came among him, influenced him, he started copying the Caucasian. Our teachers from way back, all the way up to Frederick Douglass, Dr. King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and whoever else you want to name, they have been struggling to do what? Paid a great price to bring us into a mind of our own. Now here this is 1981, and you still can't do no more then absorb impression. Isn't that pitiful? You can't act. You can't act out your intelligence. You can only absorb impression. Now, can't you understand what we mean when we say you're dead? Allahu Akbar. The scripture says, God made a man of clay. Allah says in the Quran that he made the man of sounding clay. See, clay will not only absorb impression. Clay, if you harden it, if you give it its form, form it to something, give it its own form, give it a definite form, and then harden it to that form, that clay will not only receive impression, but it will resist the attempt to impress it. And instead of being impressed, it speaks back to you. He made you a pounding clay. Instead of sustaining an indentation, it'll speak back. You say doom, it say doom. Yeah. What is that to tell us? That God has not made any man to be a helpless vessel.
That's what he said.
that they had no one to teach them anything. He didn't tell us about Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass didn't only tell a white man that I resent what you're doing to me. Frederick Douglass said, look, what you're doing to me eventually is going to reduce you as a man. He said, it's beneath my dignity to accept it, and it's destroying the little dignity that you have left. Now tell me, who was the better teacher, Frederick Douglass or Farrar Muhammad? Frederick Douglass was the better teacher. Farrar Muhammad was the better trickster. And there's a great difference. One stands in a moral image. The other one stands in the image of a mad scientist. A big head yaku. Yes. See, they don't like me to do this. No. And I'm not talking about a black man. I'm talking about a man who looked like an Arab or Pakistani. He ain't one of us. But you know the Negro will beat this Negro up for telling the truth on that man? Now, if I told the truth on one of us, they wouldn't want to beat me up. They could take it much better if I told the truth on one of us. In fact, they can take it much better if I told the truth on my father. Most of them are not so upset because I'm attacking my father. They're upset because when I attack what my father did, I am indirectly or directly attacking God, W.D. Farrar. And the only thing that allows him to be God, W.D. Farrar, is the absence of us in his features. Now you tell me I'm not working with graveyard material? Baby, I'm in the graveyard, and half of the meat is gone, there's bones and slime left. Tell the people of their glory. If it's gonna slight the white man. Don't tell me of my glory if it's gonna slight the white man. If it's gonna offend the white man, I don't wanna hear nothing good you got to say about me. That's the attitude. Anytime you hate me for saying Farrar Muhammad is not God, and you dislike me because I say he was not a true friend. That he pretended to be a true friend. He was an experimenter that used us like they used cannon fodder. His object was to show off in the face of America. He wanted to show off before the Masons. He wanted to show off before the Shriners. He wanted to show off before the occult. To show them, see, little me, that you all don't recognize. Yeah, you Americans say you're great. You got a great country. You got all the weapons. You're great. But the knowledge is the power. And I want to show you I got more of that than you. So he set up a theater of blacks and acted out in his theater presentation his own challenge to the occult wisdom of America. And you all don't understand that, so you praise him as a god. And I had something to tell me, you know, I follow you, Chief. I'm one of your followers. In fact, I challenge anybody to prove that they're a better follower than I am, Chief. But I think Farrar was sincere. I do think he was sincere. I think one day you'll understand. I don't think you should talk about him. I don't think you should slander his name. Now, these are people who claim to be Muslim. They talk to me like that. They claim to be Muslim. And the Quran says the greatest sin of all sins is the sin of twisting the word of God once you have known it and setting yourself up as an associate God or as a God. Then God said, look, the Holy Quran condemned that as the greatest of all sins. I didn't want to get on this. Allah knows that I don't have no concern for this kind of talk. I ain't interested in this kind of talk at all. So I'm not doing it for my sake. Some of you all out there just have to hear this. It ain't for my sake. I don't care for it. He himself said what? That no help came to them until the coming of the Son of Man in the person of W.D. Farrar. He himself said that there is no school God. The only God is the Son of Man. There is no school God. The only God is the Son of Man. That's what he said. He himself said, I ain't talking about what Dr. Elijah Muhammad said. I'm talking about what he himself said. W.D. Farrar said. He said that man makes Quran and Bible. That man meets in a secret conference once every 25,000 years to make scripture for the ignorant people. That's what he said. Was he speaking from the mind of a Muslim? Or was he speaking from the mind of an atheist, a pantheist, a communist? And at the same time, he was speaking with great wisdom. Because even his lies reveal great insight into the secret interpretations of Scripture. So that tells us that he had high knowledge of the secret Scriptures. Yes, he did. And to come among us and to say all things to us, ignorant people, and then leave it up to us to interpret it on our own. We could become defiant monsters, thinking we were super black gods. And we could have went out there and lost our lives, and mama life, grandpa life, grandmama life, baby's life. We could have lost the future for ourselves if we had been really weak enough to execute blindly with no moral conscience everything that he bid us to execute. So only God blessing us with a moral consciousness that kept us back from really executing the monster mentality that he was implanting in us. You want me to come and say, yes, we're on the right path now of Islam. We are Sunni Muslims. We follow the Holy Prophet. But Farad Muhammad was a genius. He was a great one of the scientists. I say you're in the wrong company, baby. If you want that, you're going to have to find it somewhere else. I didn't put down worshiping one man to pick up another. I won't worship you. No, indeed. I won't accept Jesus as God. I won't accept Farad as God. I won't accept the blackest one of you as God. I won't accept my exact duplication as God. I won't accept any but Allah as God. And if you don't like that, then we can't keep company. I can't help it. It's beneath my dignity. I have greater places that I'm aspiring to
greater future that I'm aspiring to. I have greater places to go than that. Yeah. So don't think any of you can teach me about what Farrar did and what he said and what he is. You can't teach me anything about that.
And tonight the power of this gift is for you.